Welcome to 305 Radio. This is Struck, and today's show is on location at The Flowery in North Miami Beach. And on today's episode, we have Bex of Wacky Backy, Kevin Ford of Packwoods, Brian Roberts, Director of Cultivation at The Flowery. And also we have two patients that will only drop their names as Leo and Jerry. So Bex, Wacky Backy.
Yeah. Do you know what Wacky Backy means?
I first thing I thought of was Wacky Debacky.
100%, and it's Jamaican for, you know.
So is that
for weed?
Is that the way you say weed in Jamaican?
Yeah, like Wacky Backy.
Get out of here.
Or Wacky Tabacky. Yeah.
So if I were to go to Jamaica and I'm like, let me get some Wacky Backy.
Everybody will know.
Word.
Yeah.
Food for thought, ladies and gentlemen. Food for thought. All right, Bex. So introduce yourself, my friend, and tell me a little bit about yourself.
All right. Hi, guys. I'm Bex, and I design limited edition, super collectible art toys. Ooh. But the really, really cool thing about my toys is that they're all cannabis friendly. So,
nice.
Yeah.
They bring cannabis in it?
Well, you can display and store your cannabis. I wish I could. But I can't sell cannabis, but I can sell toys.
Excellent. So when you say you it's a display for cannabis,
yeah.
Like, so we're going to post a picture up on IG so you guys can see it. But these are little, they look like astronauts where the head has a magnifying glass, mm-hmm. and inside of the helmet is a bud.
It's a bud. And his name is, guess what?
Wacky.
No, that's the name of my company. Oh. The name of this
Bud and Doobie. I love it. Bud and Doobie.
So this is Bud.
Okay.
And Bud display in stores, the Bud. Uh-huh. And Doobie is the dog. It's his counterpart that I'm dropping in February, hopefully a little bit before.
Nice.
Praying for January. And guess what Doobie holds?
A lot of Doobies.
A lot of Doobies.
That's
yes.
What's up. So Bud holds your greenery to display.
Yeah.
And so Doobie is... to display your, oh my god,
there's a little comic, and you know, maybe you can post, you know, the Bud comes from the planet that is not planet Earth.
Okay.
He collects the best flower in the universe, goes around the universe picking up the best flower,
uh-huh.
brings it to planet Earth, populates planet Earth with the best flower, and then Doobie
smokes it.
No, fertilizes the plant.
Oh,
and the plant is happy,
good
and then
boy.
They fly back to their planet.
Oh man,
back at, you know.
We are so lucky we have Bud and Doobie to save our lives here.
So there you go. That's the story of Bud and Doobie.
I love it.
Yeah.
So how'd you come up with this? Well, hold on. Before we get into Bud and Doobie's documentary here.
A documentary.
How long have you been doing
toys?
Collectible toys?
I started my very, very first project, mm-hmm. was about 13 years ago.
Okay.
So it's been a little while.
Okay, and then what was the first collectible you did?
It was a little series called I Bug You.
I Bug You?
Yes, which I successfully sold to, you know, a much bigger company than me.
Mm-hmm.
Much, much, much bigger.
Okay.
And that was very good. Very, you know. But that's how I got started, yeah.
That is amazing. That's mm-hmm. good. So 13
yeah.
years in the making.
13 years in the making.
So.
In 2 years. I mean, I dropped Bud this year on April 20th. First.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I tried so hard for April
20th.
Yes. But, you know, dealing with China, you know, it's manufactured in China.
Okay.
It was custom. And long story short, it arrived April 21st.
Well, you should just say the 20th. No one's going to know.
Yeah, but I don't like lying. And I kind of like, you know, it's like, it's April 21st.
Okay.
There you
okay.
go. 421.
It's 421. You missed it. Hey, listen, whoever got it late was smoking a little bit.
Right? Yeah.
They caught on a little late, so it's okay. So how did the idea for Bud and Doobie?
Well,
what sparked this off for you?
I besides toys, I also helped design dispensaries here in Florida.
Okay.
I'm not going to say the name of one of, you know, two of dispensaries that I, you know.
Okay. You don't have to.
I'm not going to because, you know, we're here at the Flowery,
okay.
and I love the Flowery, and I'm
Shout
not going
to
go
the
there.
Flowery.
Woohoo! Yes.
And we're in this hidden room. It's
I know.
So awesome.
And you know, the Department of Health, because I used to design dispensaries, calls
okay.
this the consultation room.
We're in a consulting right
yes.
now.
Yes.
This
yeah.
is a consult.
Every dispensary here in Florida is required by the state of Florida, the Department of Health, a consultation room. So here we are.
Hey now.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We are consulting the podcast gods here. That is amazing. I love it. Yeah. All right.
So I, you know, here in Florida, it's medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the design, you know, I design toys. I'm a visual artist. You know, I have too many degrees in art to even kind of. And it was just boring.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's medical. It was very sterile, you know. Mm-hmm. And my mind started going, it's like, oh, I wish I could do this. And I wish I, and of course, you know, they wouldn't go for that because it's not part of their branding. So, and then I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
Okay.
And here we are 2 years later.
So when what inspired Bud to be
astronaut? I'm totally playing with the cliches. It's like, it's the space cadet. You know, it's like, come on.
And I love the whole style of Bud. He looks super dope.
Oh, thank you so much.
He looks really, really dope. I mean, this is, I'm surprised. I think it's even better that the artist is here. Because
yes,
you see
you.
Things like that and you don't expect to meet the artist at all. So I think this is a really, really unique item, man. So
thank you. Much props to you
for doing this.
Yeah.
He is out of hand. Now, instead of having the little leaf, this one has what looks like a bud in it.
It comes with two different pots. Okay. If you have the real flower, you can display the real flower. If you don't have the real flower, it comes with what I call, you know, the pothead.
And the pothead for once you see the picture.
It's a little pot that has a little flower, and it's the head of the astronaut.
It's the weed leaf. It's the little head, and the whole helmet is green. It's dope.
So,
but if you have your own greenery in there, can you change the color of the lights of the display?
No, it's a white light. You cannot change it. All the colors here is to bring out the beauty and the flower.
Nice.
So I just wanted to kind of bring out, you know, all the warm tones of the flowers.
So this is not a toy for the common smoker. This is more for like the connoisseur.
It's the idea is, you know how people display like really expensive booze in their bar and they're like really proud of it.
Got it.
That's where I want people to feel proud to this, like to have their flower. I don't want it to be hidden and embarrassed and tucked away. I want it to be full frontal. Here it is. Here I am. You know,
there's a lot of love in this design.
Yes,
I love it.
It's my baby.
This is really dope. I love it.
Well, it's one of many babies that are hump up them. You know, we're in the process.
This is the latest.
this is the latest
release.
Yes. This is my favorite right now.
Nice. Now you're gonna really part of the packaging here.
Yeah.
You have on the back of the box. You have the story of Bud
the
and
little,
Doobie.
The little comic that I created, which Bud has been released. Mm-hmm. I'm coming. We're gonna drop it's me. When I say wait, but it's really me. I'm going to drop the second version of Bud. Only 1,000 pieces. That's how it's very limited drops. Yeah. So what you see here, after it sells,
it's gone.
That's it.
You're not redoing them.
I'm not redoing it. No. So I'm literally designing the second version. Like Bud, the form, the shape stays the same, but the colors are going to be. I'm going to have fun with that.
You're going to have some variants.
Yes. So.
Love it.
I'm designing the second drop of Bud and the first drop of Doobie, so it's super cool.
Oh my god. So when's Doobie coming out?
I'm really hoping January, end of January, beginning of February. So
is Bud version 2 coming out on the April 20th?
Hopefully before. I want like April 1st. Oh, my birthday is April 1st.
Hey.
I want it on my birthday.
Hey, happy early belated birthday.
Oh, God. If I was 21, I'd be celebrating. I'm no longer 21.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, this is just something so left field. And you're here at the Flowery event, and I know you have your own display.
Yes.
But there's something different in what
super
the, in the guys. Buds in the buds and Doobies you brought,
the
characters you brought, they are definitely much more different than your original style.
Yes, well, it's not mine. Mine is just the form. It's just Bud. I collaborated with a very, very well known street artist called Z Florist.
Shout out to Z Florist.
100% Z, and he went all out on 5 pieces only. This is it.
Damn, so
five
like,
pieces. Yes.
There's like going to be like one of five.
No, it's
five
one
somewhere.
Of one.
Because they're all unique?
They're all unique. It's hand-painted. He literally hand-painted each and every one.
Oh, my goodness.
So and one is gone already. Well, it's four. I think two is gone. Someone
oh my
is
gosh.
Making a decision. So there's three left, and that's it. Yeah. And Z Florist, I mean, if you're from Miami, 305,
yeah,
you
know.
Yeah.
You see his crops everywhere.
Yes.
You see his little flowers
he's,
showing up
he's
everywhere.
He's very well known, and, you know, he was so excited to, you know, to do this collab with me, and I'm, like, psyched, like, beyond psyched.
You know, now that you mentioned you did the collaboration with Z, were you ever into graffiti and street art?
Oh, my God, yes, big time. Like, I live in Buena Vista, which I moved about 10 years ago, and it was the hood. Like, I took the bars out of my house, like the bars on the windows, like 2-3 years ago.
Wow.
So I love living there. And there were many street dogs everywhere. Every time I found a dog and I rescued a dog and, you know, tried to look for their home or found
the chip,
whatever.
See
yes,
what's going on the whole night.
If I had to deal with the dog, it was called Banksy. Whether it was a boy or a girl,
wow,
the dog was was Banksy for a good 5 years.
Love it. So,
so
there
yes,
was very
street art, yes.
There's so many iterations of Banksy floating around your way.
100%. I've many Banksys. I mean, they should probably change their names because they don't. Most people don't.
Banksy's
big
Forget
enough
it.
That people.
I mean,
yeah.
Anyway. Unless they're going to start shredding dogs, and then there's a different story.
Oh, God, no. I'm an animal lover. Doobie's coming.
Doobie. Oh, I love that dog's name.
Oh, my God. This is like putting it out there for the universe to hear. Will never happen.
Listen, universe.
Universe.
You better listen
but
now.
Can you imagine?
Tell me.
Because of this little story that I just told you that I've named every... Like, I've named about 20, maybe more, dogs Banksy.
Okay.
Can you imagine if Banksy did a collab on Doobie?
Ooh.
This is like literally putting it out there in the world.
So if for whatever reason, listen, I'll be hella proud if Banksy listens to this podcast. Let's start there. So Banksy, or anyone listening to the sound of my voice knows Banksy. Let's make this happen. It would be really dope. But
right?
I love
yeah.
it, and especially yeah. more so since you named every stray dog Banksy.
For like 5 years, every dog, Banksy. Oh, but it's a girl. I don't care.
It's Banksy. You like it, you don't like it. You didn't name him. It was up to me. It's done. Therefore, it's done.
Yeah. Before that was Dexter because
no.
of the show.
So you have a bunch of psycho-ass dogs.
I have a whole bunch of Dexters and a whole bunch of Banksy.
Dear universe, we don't need psycho dogs.
No, please don't.
Let's not do any Dexter Doobies. Oh, my God, but that would be super dope, though. Dexter
right?
Doobie.
Oh, my God.
I love that the universe has spoken.
I prefer Banksy, though.
Yeah, facts. Facts. Banksy's all super dope, super dope. Anyway. So when you got together with Z, you started doing your own version, like a Z Florist Doobie, Bud and Doobie, or is it going to be just Bud?
Well, for now, we got together this past week. It was very fast. I said, listen, you know, we're putting this thing at the Flowery. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do a collab? And he's like, hell yeah, let's do it. And
amazing.
It was like a 1 week process.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So
in 1 week, you were able to knock that out.
Yeah, well, he was.
Well, he was. Shoot, that's
it's
hella fast, bro.
It was one a day. He wanted to strangle me, I think. But, you know.
Well, I'm going to have him on the show in a little while.
So there you go. Yeah.
I was about to call him Banksy. He's very in tune with energy. So he's like, let me wait for the energy to be ready. I'll come through. All right, bro. So he's gonna come through. We're going to talk to him for a little while.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. But, I mean, this is such a dope. Can I see him real quick?
Yeah, you can touch
I mean,
him. It's soft vinyl, which is like
so
hell
how do you,
to work with.
When you go through, when you start designing things like this, just for those that are inspired to create their own figures and things like that, how difficult is this process? How strenuous is it?
It takes time for it to mature. I because I'm a sculptor by training. So
okay.
I teach at the university sculpture. And,
got
you
it.
Know, so I literally make little sculptures until it's just right. It's usually I make about two or three, you know, iterations, and then I pick my favorite or I combine, you know, the best of each into the final one. So I make a few little, but I made one sculpture. It was it, and you know, and then I had someone digitalize it, you know, and then they 3D printed it in China.
Oh my gosh.
And they made a mold out of it, and that was it.
How exciting is it to get this in the mail? For the to get the prototype in the mail?
To get, because, the prototype, once it gets, the thing is, I went through so many revisions.
Got it.
You know, by the time I got the actual product, it was just like, I want to change the sole to thickness from this thickness. Literally, it's like,
so
it's
you're in production mode. You're in production mode. You're looking for imperfections.
Yeah.
And trying to fix them, but there's no wow. What's the wow moment for you?
The very, very first time I got the 3D print.
Really?
It was all wrong. I mean, from that to this, but if that moment from, you know, from clay to something that is functional, like you can put the pot, there was a light, and that's
awesome.
So cool.
That is amazing. See, and that's why I ask, because, man, I could just imagine you get your hands on this, and that bud, it looks real.
It's fake. I make it out of moss in my kitchen sink.
You know what?
Retail.
Now you say that.
Yeah.
It really looks like sage. It looks like old sage.
Oh my god, maybe I should make it out of sage. I go to Home Depot and I buy moss and
be like, I'm gonna sage your life.
My god, I think you just gave me a great idea.
So you could hit me up with my own version. That'll be great. This is super dope.
The sage bud.
The sage bud from Miami. With such a spiritual character.
Cool.
But this is so dope, man. I really love this so much. So with this talk of bud, you say there's only 1,000
of this,
that are going to be done.
Yes.
Of this version.
Of this version, yes.
So if anyone wanted to get their hands on one of these, how would they do so?
They can go to my website.
Okay. What's
your
website?
And it's www.wacky-backy.com. WACKY-BACKY.
Okay.
Or the best way is Instagram for me. It's wackybacky.official. So just,
Wackybacky.official on the gram.
Yeah, just come and say hi anyway, you know?
Yeah, you got to go check it out either way. So let me ask you about the flowery.
Yes.
So when you came into the flowery, did you expect, you've been into this industry for how long?
5 years.
Now, what's two main questions.
Yeah.
What was the one thing that resonates the most with you in this industry? That aside from, you know, it's buds and whatnot, like this whole industry, what's the one wow moment for you in this industry?
Well, here in the flowery,
yes,
how everybody is so nice. So nice. Like I said, I've worked with other, you know, dispensaries. I've designed for them, great branding for them and so forth. And people are very dry sometimes. And here it feels like a family, and they are amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And what's the biggest misconception for dispensaries that you've been, since you've been around for a while?
I've been around, but I think it has changed so much. You know, I don't know what the word is, not misconception. It's like what people feel about marijuana in general. I think it is evolving. It is changing, and it's become so much more accepted. And, you know, that's why one of the reasons I wanted to do bud and make, like, display the bud, like, be proud of the bud. And I think people are no longer embarrassed anymore.
Got it.
It's like hidden secret. No one is hiding anymore.
Yeah, no
and
one's
I,
hiding
I love
nothing.
That. And it's, you know, when I first started, it was still hidden. People are a lot prouder talking about it today.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite anything in the dispensary? Do you lean more towards one thing or the other? Or do you find it as everything is inspirational for everything you're doing?
Everything is inspirational. Everything inspires me. I'm an artist, so I look at everything. It's like, ooh, I like the sage. I'm thinking, I like the idea of the sage. It's
We're
like,
gonna make a spiritual Buddha.
So there you go. Yes. So it's like everything inspires me in a way. So.
That is good. That's so amazing. So, before you go, before we call it quits, because I know you got to get back to the party.
Yes.
You know, so. Do you have any shout outs? Anyone that you want to give a special shout out to? Any crew, anything like that? You want to promote anything? Now's your chance.
No, I just really want to thank Z Florist, you know, for this collab. This is truly, truly amazing. And It really, like, really is.
Listen, those when I saw it, I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I saw, first I saw your figure.
Yeah.
And then it was Brandon. He told me, he goes, look, she's the one that did it. I couldn't believe it because it's not all the time you're going to run into the artist, right? And more so, both artists.
Yeah.
It's yourself and Z.
Yeah.
And the collaboration.
Yeah, no,
is
and we
so
had a
dope.
Really good energy between, like, it's all about energy. We had it was very symbiotic. So, and he totally gets it. He totally 100% gets it. And I'm very happy and thankful for that.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
And I have to thank the Flowery for that too. They're the ones that put us together.
Shout out to Flowery.
Woohoo!
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking some time. And I'm going to see you around through this event.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
See you. All right. So, next up to bat, we have Mr. Kevin Ford from Packwoods.
What's good?
What's good, man? How you doing?
Fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent. So, tell me a little bit about, let's start off, what's Packwoods?
Packwoods. So, we are a, Packwoods is a cannabis brand, obviously, premium. Packwoods means connoisseurs, right? These are all the different adjectives that we like to speak about as it relates to Packwoods. Got our start in Los Angeles and have quickly grown all over the country. We're known for our classics, right? Which is our classic blunt line.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-rolls, right? But not your typical pre-rolls, right? These are hand-rolled 2.5 gram infused blunts. Right, I don't want to get your listeners too excited because there's a little bit of stipulations that we have as it relates to the beautiful state of Florida that we can't have infused flower products. But that's what the Packwoods name has gotten big for across the country. You know, we've diversified the different products that we have. So we have our blunts, we have our heavies, right, which I like to call doinks, right? Which I mean, your big 2.5 gram joints. Again, those are typically infused across the country, but you can find them here at Flowery too, right? So we have them under the brand called Heavies, so Packwoods Heavies here at the Flowery. And look, I mean, it's nice to have infused joints, infused blunts, but when you have flower as good as the Flowery has, that's testing as high as it is, you might not need it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So
for those that don't know though, what would be infused? Packwoods.
Yeah, so there's gonna be 2 points of infusion that you would have with our blunts or our heavies. So it's gonna be the outer coating is gonna be rolled in keef, right? And then inside would be infused with either some sauce or distillate or just different types of extracts that we're gonna be putting back into the product, into the flower itself. So you have your high quality. You know, flower, right? And this is we're sourcing only the best of the best, right? And then you have your keef on the outside, and then you also have the infusion on the inside of either the blunt or the heavies. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let's stick to Florida rules then.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. So you know, we have some really, really amazing products with the Flowery. You know, we do have our heavies. I think the most unique part about the smoking experience, and I really want to sort of put emphasis on that, right? Because anything that Packwoods is putting out is really speaking to that connoisseur, and they're really taking into consideration how not only the quality of the product, but the experience and the consumption experience that you have, right? So all of our classics, which is our blunts, all of our heavies are going to have a glass tip, right? Ooh. And so we're not doing paper filters, right? You know, we're not doing hemp filters. It's a glass tip, right? So you get that really smooth draw.
Packwoods is on another level, right?
We're on another level.
That is a different level altogether. To have a nice a glass filter.
Glass filter. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Fire, man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That is on fire.
Yeah.
So. How long have you been with Packwoods?
Not too long, actually. So I've been familiar with Packwoods for a pretty long time, but I've actually been with the company for about a month now, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. So which I think speaks to the growth that Packwoods has. So I've been brought on to Packwoods from a sales capacity and an operations capacity, and really sort of harnessing the immense growth that Packwoods has across. Mm-hmm. Across the country, right? You can find Packwoods in Michigan. You can find Packwoods in Oklahoma, Missouri, Okay. New Mexico, Arizona, Washington, California, everywhere. Right? And so, you know, what Packwoods is doing is bringing on, you know, some seasoned vets that have been in the space and really can put the emphasis on making sure that we're growing responsibly, right? No pun intended on the growing side, right? But making sure that, you know, we're servicing all of our clients, all of our customers, the way that they need to be serviced so that everyone's getting the best product around.
Now, you know, one would have the misconception that there's no real medical anything. Mm-hmm. It's all recreational. But mm-hmm. you definitely see the difference.
Yeah.
When you walk into a dispensary, it's not, you don't get the vibe of recreation. Mm-hmm. You get a vibe of, you know, this is medicine. This is something that
absolutely
that someone needs for A and B ailment or whatever.
Absolutely.
So when you've been in the industry for quite some time.
Since 2017. Before. Yeah.
So how have you seen that gray area sharpen up between patient and recreation?
Yeah, you know, in Florida is so our patients in Florida are so well educated. Mm-hmm. And it keeps brands and it keeps companies on our toes and making sure that we remember the root, again, no pun intended, on where this industry has come from. Mm-hmm. And where these programs that the state of Florida has instilled on why these programs exist, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's for the patient. Right. And it's for the individuals who need this beautiful plant as medicine. Right. And so it ensures that a brand like Packwoods, who may initially be looked at as a recreational product because mm-hmm. it thrives in those recreational markets, it makes sure that we back up and look at it and making sure that we're putting forth the right products for mm-hmm. those customers, right? And so, you know, when you look at the future and when you look at Florida, where at some point this thing goes rec mm-hmm. and at some point this thing goes adult use, it's almost like we've been waiting so long for that we continually ingrain ourselves on the way that we operate now, which is a medical market, right? And mm-hmm. so I don't think that history or that identity will ever be lost in the brands that exist today and the companies that exist today. And I think nobody's doing it better than the Flowery, right? Nobody's mm-hmm. putting forth what that cannabis culture means better than the Flowery. You know, not only for what that brand represents and what they're doing down at Homestead in that cultivation facility, mm-hmm. But the brands that they're bringing in, right? The, mm-hmm. the California brands that really speak to that culture. And speak to a point of education, products that actually differentiate, right? I mean, and the products that this dispensary carries all vary across the board. They all have their value proposition and their medical benefits. And it's just great to see it here down in Miami.
Now, you did mention a good point, which was the education of the product.
Yep.
Now, you've been all over the state, all over the states.
Yeah.
Now, how have you seen the education differ? Like, what, when you say education, give me an example for our listeners.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a multitude of ways that you can engage the patient and make sure that they're being educated, right? At the end of the day, the most important and the biggest voice for the industry as it relates to educating the consumer or the patient is going to be the bud tender, right? Mm-hmm. Because right, wrong, or indifferent, that patient walks into the store, like, that's the person that is going to give them the best knowledge, and that at least in the customer's eyes or in the patient's eyes knows everything, right? Like, they're working at a dispensary, then they must know everything, yeah, right?
They're the go-to.
So, and a lot of our butt tenders in within the Flowery, within the state of Florida, throughout the United States, are very educated because they're passionate. But they can only be educated so much, and we have to allow the brands to educate that butt tender, right? And so I want to make sure that they're speaking to the benefits of my product and the grow methods that we have, And the style and the composition of my product in the best way. And so a lot of it comes down to, sure, there's a lot of the low-hanging fruit comes from the way that you're marketing on social media, mm-hmm. and the ways that you're leaving your leave-behind pamphlets and your signage. Like, all of that stuff is a given as a ways to be able to put forth that education. But it's really, how do you allow for your brand to come to life via that bud tender that's going to be the one that's going to talk about your product? Right.
Very true.
And I think what we're doing here today, right? Like this roadshow, so cool, right?
The
like,
roadshow is I love the concept mm-hmm. that they're going from location to location throughout the state of Florida, just to be able to have that familiar, you know, be familiar with each other.
Exactly.
And that creating bonds. They're creating these stronger bonds between their bud tenders and their corporate entity.
Absolutely. And then not to mention the patients. I mean, like, people are smiling ear to ear, they're playing cornhole, they're winning free stuff.
There's
like
a bunch of stuff happening out here. Yeah.
They got cornhole, they got putt-putt golf going on over there.
They got a little bit of every, and they got a photo area.
Yeah, photo
so
area.
We're here doing the podcast. We're interviewing people. So, yeah, they definitely went all out for this.
Yeah, yeah. Which is cool because it brings in, like, you know, I always use the comparison because I don't gamble, even though I lived in Vegas for 5 years. But I remember the first time I went into a casino and my buddies were playing blackjack. Like, I was afraid to walk up to the table. You feel like you're doing something wrong because mm-hmm. you can't be on your phone or whatever. Like, so, like, it creates this, like, oh man, like, I don't really know this area. And mm-hmm. so, like, when you have a new patient that walks in, like, imagine someone just got their card last week.
Yeah.
And the Flowery ends up being the first shop that they walk in. How relieved are they going to be when they walk in and they have people playing cornhole and like this normalized experience where they may have been very timid and scared and they just had this unbelievable experience because the Flowery has created this really cool, welcoming environment, right?
Have you seen in other places, at least at the beginning when I say beginning loosely, right? But I'm saying when this industry was started to ease up, people were accepting it, being more accepting of it, that were totally against it, right? What were some of the odd experiences that a dispensary, someone walking into a dispensary may have had versus now? Because definitely versus now is this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, well, like the old experience people joke about, it's like, oh, like you feel like you're going, like you're checking into jail, right? Like, but it is like, right? It's like you're going through like, and you're talking through a hole in a plastic wall and you're like, you're sliding your ID like underneath like a certain like, you know, and like here, like you walk in and this just feels like a coffee shop or like a lounge. And it's like, everyone's super chill. And it's like, not this like, you know, I think that's what's really cool about the retail space is that it's become a lot more welcoming. You know, this is a medical establishment, but it doesn't mean that it has to have white walls and has to be this like very stuffy, like quiet, like place where you feel timid, right? The going back to what I was saying before, that whole welcoming environment, I think mm-hmm. is where what's really cool to see sort of the growth of what dispensaries used to look like and where we're at now.
And what's going on with Packwoods, man? What are you guys up to? Where are you guys going? What should we expect from Packwoods coming up?
Yeah, so be on the lookout for some new genetics coming through from the Flowery. You know, those folks, you know, are doing some really special things. We have some, you know, some really unique things coming down the pike that I can't necessarily divulge yet.
Okay.
But be on the lookout. Make sure you're following Packwoods on Instagram. Get Packwoods.official. Make sure you're continually following the Flowery. You know, we're pushing the limits on what we can do, right? Like mm-hmm. we're submitting a lot of unique SKUs to the state, you know, mm-hmm. that hopefully get approved here. You know, I can give you a sneak peek of something
exclusive.
So we're looking at a 2-gram pod, which would be pretty big, okay. right? A lot of what you see on the market right now from a derivative side as it relates to your vapes and stuff like that are kind of in the 1-gram.
Yeah.
You know, so we're doing a lot of volume on some 2-gram stuff in other states.
Okay.
Some live resin disposables have been popping off in other states. So, you know, it's, you know, I hate to paint a picture that we're limited in Florida. Because that's not necessarily the case, right? You have to operate within the rules and the ecosystem that you're bound to. You know, because we've been around longer in some other markets, And we've had a little bit more freedom in those markets to do some unique things as it relates to the product itself. We're always looking to figure out how we can bring that into Florida. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but we're growing quick.
That is amazing, man. So I know you have to get back to this event. Yeah. So do you have any shout outs, anything you want to plug that now's your chance?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think just the gratitude that we have with our partnership with the Flowery, I think, is one of the, you know, the main things for our locals and your listeners to understand, is that, you know, Packwoods wouldn't be where we are in the state of Florida with the notoriety that we have here thus far without our good partners over at the Flowery. You know, I'd like to give a shout out to all the cultivation workers, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Those are like the unsung heroes, right? A lot of them came through today, which was like super cool to see them like come through. You know, like, they don't get the praise that they should, and they're some of the hardest workers in our industry.
It's not easy.
It's not.
It can't be easy. It's especially not when easy. when you're working in an industry where quality matters.
Quality matters. I mean, and they're, it's physical work too. Not only is it mental, mm-hmm. they're smart people, but it's physical work. Like, they're working their butts off down there.
And it's hot.
It's really hot. And not a lot of people live down where we're cultivating. So they're driving a long time to go down there. But I mean, they care. They care a ton about the product. And it shows, right? It shows mm-hmm. when the consumers are coming in here. I mean, there's a high educated customer that comes into the Flowery. So and they come here for a reason. So,
yeah. All that squeaky noise is the hidden compartment door.
It's a hidden compartment door, and they're wondering where the Packwoods rep is.
Packwoods, we need you. But I mean, shoot, man, and rightfully so. Packwoods is elevating the game.
Absolutely.
That Absolutely. Is just to hear that there's that glass filter is amazing. Yeah. That's a whole different, that's a new level yeah. altogether. So yeah. Shout out to Packwoods. It's amazing what you guys are doing. I love everything you guys are doing. You know, shoot. You're making me want to be a patient real quick.
Well, you got to try some.
Yeah, man.
Well, this show ends at 8. Where are we going after?
Hey.
Let's go. Where are we going after?
But anyone that wants to get in contact with you, what are your handles?
So my personal handle is I am Kevin Ford. There's an E at the end of my last name. Like I said, the Packwoods is getpackwoods.official. Send us a DM. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you love. Let us know what you don't love. That's the only way that we can innovate as a brand, is knowing what people like, we're going to double down. Knowing what you don't like, we're going to abandon ship, right? So like, you know, but it's true. Like, I mean, you have to adapt quickly in this industry. Yeah. You know, and our customers are, you know, obviously the lifeblood of what we do. So, you know, we have to listen to what they're saying. You know, make sure that we're delivering a quality product.
Perfect. Hey, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. And we're back. And now in the studio, I'm here with Brian, Director of Cultivation for The Flowery.
How's it going?
I'm great, man. Get close to the mic. Just yep. There you go.
Yep. How's it going?
All right. We're doing good. Hear you loud and clear, my friend.
Nice.
All right. So, Brian, you're the Director of Cultivation. What mm-hmm. does that mean?
So, you know, I'm in charge of the cultivation space where we grow all of the plants, right?
Okay.
I manage the entire... you know, the production planning of that, mm-hmm. and then also, you know, like the strategies behind, you know, irrigation and, you know, topping and all the phases that the plant goes through in its life. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do a few other things as well on the other side of harvest. After we take the plants out of the room, I kind of contribute on some of those processes downstream, you know, like as a quality kind of liaison, if you want to call it that. But yeah, so I get to basically shepherd what I grow, you know, and what my team grows mm-hmm. the whole way down the line, which is pretty cool. Not a lot of places let you do that.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be honest, what has caught me off guard is I did not realize how deep the Flowery was. Mm-hmm. Like, most places would say dispensary, and that's all they do is buy and sell.
Yeah.
Not grow.
No. Yeah, we grow weed for smoking. Like, you know, a lot of people grow, and I'm, you know, that's something I've heard people mention before, but there are people who grow weed to grow it, to produce weight and sell, mm-hmm. you know, whereas we kind of believe a little bit more, there's a little bit more to it than that. You know, and that intentions matter in a sense. Like, yeah, we're trying our best to grow the best product that we can, you know, and preserve that. And it takes a lot of attention to detail, for sure.
Like,
you got to be passionate about it.
And you're dealing with different ailments, because no one, you know, you think about the plant itself, no one realizes that it has so much depth to it.
Yeah.
You know, like, some people, it makes them functional.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, it's literally a medicine to some.
Yeah.
So when you're growing, you have to take all these things into consideration. Like, are allergies taken in consideration?
On our end, or
on the growing part?
I mean, there are, I guess, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the other side of, you know, we have a lot of air purification that we use in the rooms, in the mm-hmm. facility, in the processing areas. We do, you know, it's a very sanitary area. Like, we really use a lot of, you know, smart chemistry. So we don't use stuff that has residuals and stuff like that. It basically evaporates into oxygen.
Got it.
So, and it's very effective at cleaning stuff. But on top of that, there are strains too that like, we have harvesters that maybe, you know, there's certain terpenes that when it gets like in their, you know, nose, that they literally almost have to leave because they start sneezing and stuff like that. There are certain strains that, and it's just certain terpenes can do that to people. So there's all sorts of allergies, right? Yeah,
that's so interesting.
Yeah, right. That and it's generally, usually in my experience, it's strains like Jack Harrow that do that to people. That sweet kind of smell. I don't know if you're familiar with the strain, but
I mean,
it's got a very, like, they call it a haze, or
like a
haze, right?
Okay.
That smell, usually, if anybody's gonna have, you know, a bit of a reaction when it's being processed,
that's the one to do it to you.
Yeah, they're the one that do it. You know, and those people can usually get away with wearing a mask, and then it stops. But, you know, it's just
once it gets you, it's over. It's like pollen.
Yeah, exactly. It's what it almost seems like. Right?
So, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been growing?
So, well, I started growing in the tail end of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It was black market. You know, I was pretty young at the time. I was just turning 20.
Okay.
You know, I ended up, you know, like, long story short, me and a friend got to a point where we were like, you know, we were like, we can't really find weed for any cheaper than where we're at. Like, we could tell that we were like once removed from whoever was growing it.
Uh-huh.
And it was really good stuff. I mean, amazing. And we were like, you know, why? And we were paying some astronomical price, like $3,200 a pound or something.
Yikes.
Yeah, old school. Yeah. And we were like, I can't, you know, I could maybe do this myself, you know what I mean? Almost, in a sense. And funnily enough, we ran into somebody who was like, oh, you know, we hadn't seen him in a while. And we were like, what are you up to? And he kind of told us to come by his house one day, and we did. And I walked in there. I was like, this guy's growing weed. I could smell it, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus. And basically, he, you know, basically said to us, you know, if you guys rent a house, I'll show you how to do this. You know, you give me your first, you know, few harvests, and, you know, I get first right of refusal on everything else. And it was like a whole, you know, thing. And we ended up, you know, doing it. And he kind of, it was pretty crazy. He, like, literally took us to, you know, after we had went to him, we were like, yeah, we signed the lease. We put the cash down, everything, had the keys in hand. He literally took us to like three different you store it places, and like, you know, opened up the thing, and it was filled with like stacks of, you know, hydro trays. And
so crazy.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, I didn't even know who this guy was. And now I think about it, it's like crazy as shit, right? That you would even do that.
Yeah, it sounds way too like someone's coming to rent an apartment, and you're like, oh, sure, I'll do it. And then all of a sudden, surprise.
We knew him good, and we knew him well enough, like, in the sense that he was always around mm-hmm. our circle of friends in that sense. And we had like some suspicions that he was growing weed before,
mm-hmm.
but it was like kind of interesting how it all kind of came. The whole, like, the details of that story are like just crazy how it kind of came together. But, you know, I learned a lot from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, really just since then I've been growing consistently, you know, black market, or helping friends that have black market setups still, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really not, a lot of those guys have now since moved on, but like, as far as they went to Cali, or they went to Colorado to try and do something. They're probably regretting it now, I'm sure. But yeah, that was kind of, you know, what I did for a while. I really paid attention to the plant. Mm-hmm. I started collecting genetics that I could get my hands on. I became a member of all of the forums that are out there. There's a lot that, you know, don't exist anymore, like Canazon and, you know, Canna Collective and, you know.
Yeah, who goes on forums anymore, right?
Right, yeah, nobody goes on those. But that was the only place you could go to get consistent, like, knowledge from people. If you were trying to understand what you're dealing with, there was really, you couldn't look it up in a book.
No.
Right? So what you would do is, you know, you'd get these forum, you know, you'd make an account and you'd post a question or two. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like anything, you naturally kind of, I got used to it. I started posting photos to it, you know, and all of that. In a time when, you know, this was probably like 2009.
That was it's a little unheard of. Yeah. This whole industry was still in the hush-hush.
Very, yeah. Yeah. Know? And like the genetics network that was there was what really drew me in, right? Because then I started to read and learn about the lore of it, the strains, right? And where the chem dogs came from, where the OGs came from, the arguments there, and how everybody's working through it all, you know, like, and trying to figure out where some of this stuff originated.
And how when you're doing that kind of research, do you connect the dots on saying, oh, this is why some patients use it for this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it has, I think, what makes, I don't know how to describe it, but popularity, like right now, I like a lot of the weed that like we grow, but it can be similar. We're lucky. We have some, like, our Runtz cuts are different than other people's. They're really special plants.
Okay.
And they exhibit what everybody else is really trying to mimic. But Runtz is everywhere, right?
You hear Runtz. Yeah. Runtz is a very common strain. Is it a strain?
Yes, Runtz? It's a strain. Yeah. There's multiple phenotypes of it. There are different Runtz cuts. But, you know, some of them, the real one. Like, I was very fortunate because we are partnered with Runtz, and I know Nick. Like, he sent us this, you know, cut of, you know, what was the original Runtz, really what kind of set everything on fire, right? Mm-hmm. And up until then, I mean, I started growing Runtz in 2018 when I was at one plant.
Okay.
It was before Runtz was even really, really big, you know. Okay. And basically, you know, it was very clear that when I got to grow this strain here at the Flowery, the real Runtz, I was like, wow, okay.
What was the difference?
Just smoke, structure, flavor, color, smell, everything about it. I was like, you can see it, right? If you're around plants a lot and you see them, and it's just that. It's like anything that's kind of a pursued interest, like, you start to notice things.
Well, see, when you start naming the traits and the details you're looking at, I follow everything except structure.
Yeah.
Give me an example of structure.
So that's like the side, like the flower itself, like how that structures. So there's things about that lend itself better to being processed or handled.
Okay.
Like things that structure certain ways, they trim and they look like shit.
Got it.
And it's just how that strain will come out. This thing was like, all of those things, you know, what Nick at Runtz did was really dial in all of that shit before. You know, you could just tell that he had looked for all of those things in this plant. When you grow it, you're just like, wow, oh. And then when you smoke it, I mean, it gives you the reddest eyes. Like, you're,
it's a different world altogether.
So you're like, I can see why people went crazy over this, and, you know, when it hit the market, you know.
Got it.
So, you know, I'm lucky to be able to grow those strains and actually see that. Because, you know, the cut that I had in 2018 was really nice, but it was not the same as the cut, the real Runtz that they gave us.
So what? Where was the point where you said, where you looked at all the grows you've had, and you look towards the future? You say, I want to do this on this level.
It just happened. I mean, I didn't really. I don't know. Of course, I always thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool to do this for a living? But I was black market, and I was in the midst. I had just had my first son, and I had closed up shop.
Got it.
Right. And I was like, I'm going to just figure out. I had a professional career that I had been, you know, pursuing, that I had gotten pretty far in, you know, and I a family business that my mother was able to sell. So I didn't have to worry about my mother. You know, she was like, everything was good in that sense. So we moved over to the west coast of Florida, and it just so happened that a contact that I had made prior on the east coast got a job as the director of operations for one of the new license holders in the state of Florida. And he was like, you want to come in? Now, I was just coming in because of how I knew this guy was from my professional career, you know, that I was coming in for basically like quality control and like a compliance standpoint.
Got it.
But it was very clear. Of course, I just wanted to grow weed. That's all I wanted to do. But I was like, I'll take any fucking job, you know. I had actually interviewed for Move prior to that, probably about a week before. It was crazy how it all kind of happened. But, you know, they offered me like a $13 an hour job, you know. It was like $13 an hour. I'm like, you guys can go to hell.
Jeez.
So then these other guys were like, you know, you can come in, but it's going to be a ground up thing, right? You're going to have to get in and, you know, it's going
to
be
hot.
You're going to be out there
in the labor field. Yeah. You're going to be working.
Yeah. So I, you know, and it was, you know, that's what it was. It was a very tight, small group that got this license. The owner at the time was a very like do-it-yourself, self-made kind of guy. You know, they needed a lot of help. You know, they definitely, you know, had gotten to a certain point, but they were at that point where they needed people who thought about, you know, production lines a little bit differently and like how to get things in a perpetual harvest so that you're producing every week rather than giant harvests twice a year.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think of harvesting. I'm like, that can't be a weekly thing. It has to, like, in my mind, I picture every 4 months you're harvesting.
Yeah. No, we're doing it every week here.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but it's all about your increments, right? So you just have 8 rooms, right? Or 9 rooms that you harvest once every week. You load one, you move into the next one. On Monday, you load it. And then by the time you're done loading the 9th one, you go back to the first one. And that's ready to harvest. And then you pull that out, replace, pull that out, replace.
Keep going. Keep it going.
It's like a combustion engine. Yeah. You just have to have a separate veg space. I mean, you could move the plants in a vegetative phase, which is where you're controlling the light for, you know, like 20 hours a day or somewhere around there, 18 hours a day. And then you put them into flower, which is 12 hours on, 12 hours off for light. But if you can split those spaces up, then you can move at that rate. So our plants
so
are only, right. It's pretty crazy. Our plants are only alive for about 92 days.
My gosh.
So they're a very quick life. The moms are not around for long either. There's all of that's cycled in a way to keep things fresh because you want healthy, you know, vigorous plants. If you leave them in a pot for a long time, that's like the size of this, you know, 5 gallons, it eventually will outgrow that and it will start to become... like they slow themselves down.
It actually turns into a weed.
Yeah, it starts to realize that it's like it can't grow anymore. So metabolically, it will slow down, and your stems become really woody, right? And then you have a hard time taking cuttings and rooting them because they just you got to have fast.
So interesting,
right?
Man.
Yeah, there's a lot of little things to get caught in there.
There's so much going on just for a small cycle too.
Yeah, 98 days or 92 days now. Yeah.
So in doing this, how is it, you know, cuz I know when you start talking about marijuana, you start thinking recreation first, and then now it's such a medical thing. You know, what are some of the things that you learned actually as a professional now, instead of, you know, you did black market, but now as a professional, what are some of the wow moments for you that you didn't know of, and then it was like the light bulb went, oh wow,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I thought, like, so when I was at Three Boys Farm, right, and then we were acquired by One Plant, during that whole phase, right, we were partnered with a lady named Kathy Jordan.
Okay.
And she had, I don't remember which, you know, but she was in a wheelchair and she had, you know, trouble speaking, but, you know, she's all there, but she just has, you know, the motor control is not. And she, you know, drools a lot. And her whole thing was that she would smoke to get the cotton mouth, right? And that's how she would medicate. And it made it so that she didn't have to take this medication that would, make her, she said it, and it's known for, I believe, for making you feel really, like, it makes your eyes dry, your throat hurts, like, you know, it stops you from salivating when it can be a danger to your life, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so like her whole voyage is why we have, you know, part of the reason why we have smokable flower here.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was like, I can't get the cotton mouth effect from edibles. Yeah. Like,
oh, wow.
So she, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I was like, and then it started, we, you know, there's people who, you know, even when I was in the black market, I had a good friend of mine who had a pretty bad accident. He lost like three of his fingers, and
goodness.
He has a stitch basically from his groin all the way up to the center of his chest, the whole way. Yeah, crazy stuff. And, you know, he actually had a problem with opiates. And he was like, I can't do this. And I was like, dude, I'll give you all of the weed you want. You know? I was like,
Just stop taking those pills.
And he's like, well, he's like, I feel like, he confided in me and was like, I feel like I'm gonna take this shit and I'm gonna, you know, regret it. And I'm like, dude, I was like, I will give you all of the weed you want. You know, so I did. I gave him a huge bag of weed.
But when he said, take this shit and regret it, he was talking about the medication.
The opiates in particular. Because he had a problem with opiates. He got in this accident, and in his recovery, he was prescribed them. Even though they knew, I believe, that he had an issue with them, I think he made it evident to them.
And he knew it was going to take him.
Yeah, so I was like, dude, I'll give you all of the weed you want. I was like, just, you know, figure it out. Eat it, whatever you want to do. And he was a huge stoner. And he was like, yeah. He was like, I'll eat it all. And that's what he would do, is he would put it on crackers with peanut butter and sprinkle the weed on it. And
oh, my
on a
goodness.
Saltine, put two of them in the toaster oven with all that weed on top of it and cook it for, I don't remember how long, and pop them in and eat them. And he would just...
That's like, a whole new level of edibles.
Right? Yeah. And he's like... And it would actually... It really helped him out. What was funny is that after that, because everything was so disturbed, his you know, his intestines were just never working right.
Mm-hmm.
But that... Those crackers... helped him with all of the IBS and stuff that he had afterwards. So he still takes him that way to this day.
Wow.
He actually buys weed from the Flowery.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's like pretty cool that he's still.
Man, it's so interesting the way something affects a human body like that.
Yeah. It was like for him too. Like, I know he was in pain, man. He was stuck in a couch for,
so
you know,
he was
like,
on that cycle, that pattern of it hurts. I can't move.
Yeah.
Now
he doesn't have it. He's a loner kind of, he's just that type of person, you know, and he's not, you know, and I was like one of the only people that he really knew, you know, outside of work. So I went there every day and checked on him. Cause I was like,
God,
dude,
bless
you, can't.
You.
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah, that's amazing.
It's funny because we grew up together, and it was like recently we said to each other, like, we were the only people who really made it out of the neighborhood that we grew up in because a lot of our friends had similar opiate issues and didn't recover from them. You know?
Oh, man, that sucks.
So that's another element of where I'm like, I know that some of those guys would probably still be alive today if medical marijuana was an option, because a lot of them worked with their bodies, right? They were... Mm-hmm. Masons and stuff like that, or they did carpentry or whatever.
Yeah,
they hurt themselves, you know, got on the pills somehow and tried them one time, and that was it.
It's
you
over.
Know? And I know if somehow somebody would have been like, you know, you can get medical marijuana, that could help you. I know some of those guys would probably still be around today, you know.
And especially if you're sprinkling it on crackers with peanut butter.
Yeah, man. Dude, he used to get wasted off of that stuff. I was like, wow.
I've never seen anyone do that.
Yeah.
That's food for thought.
Yeah, it works really well for pain. Apparently, he said that it was like, you know, better than any painkiller he's ever taken.
Amazing.
Yeah, but it was probably pretty. It was probably a pretty big dose.
I'm saying, because if you just get a little bit of sprinkle, it's not going to do nothing.
Yeah, no, he would put a ton of weed on this stuff. You look at it and you're like, "Geez, man,
what are you doing? You smoke it."
Yeah.
So what's been, you know, this? I bet you this has just been a hell of a ride.
Oh yeah.
And what's do you have a favorite strain right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm really getting kind of caught up on the green weed now again. I mean, you know, purple stuff is everywhere. We're lucky we get to, you know, I work with some guys who think similarly as I do, you know, on my team, that, you know, we're also kind of looking for, you know, anything that's a little, we have our partner brands like Runts and Backpack Boys and these other, you know, Preferred Gardens that have their thing that they're doing. But under the Flowery brand, we get to source and do our own thing. So we look at what that menu is, right, that our brands are offering, and try and put something that's a little bit in a different direction, you know.
I think it's interesting that you said that you're back to green. Purple's too much.
No, it's not. It's, I just don't, I, me personally, I, find that I'm not a huge fan of the purple strains. I like them. Mm-hmm. The runts is a great example.
Yeah.
But even the batches of runts that smoke the best are slightly greener.
Got it.
Like they're not always like the really, really dark purple stuff doesn't burn as well.
Got it.
Right? It still smokes great. Like you still have great flavor, but you know, you don't get that like same smoking experience that you do with what I consider to, you know, usually a greener weed. Skittles is a great example. It's okay. a very like almost like when it dries and it's done, it's kind of got like this golden yellow and like kind of mm-hmm. like off green color, mm-hmm. and it's not just, you know, straight purple.
Yeah.
The real Skittles like that, when you smoke it, you know, our 710 Labs cut that we have here, it's like out of this world, you know, crazy flavor, and it burns with the whitest ash. It almost burns like an incense or something like that. Yeah.
And I've heard people talk about the ash.
Yeah, that's a...
So is that legit?
So, I mean, I think it's all related. I'm really, and this is maybe, you know, I could be wrong, but okay. I'm just saying from my experience, I really think it's genetics is a big part of it. What strain and where it comes from mm-hmm. is what dictates that more than how it's grown, how it's cured. That has an impact. But there's some strains that I'm running across now that I've run multiple times where I've just been like, no matter what, no matter how bad that run was, even, you know, they're all pretty good most of the time, but mm-hmm. just, you know, a batch that I would have in my head been like, this isn't going to be good. You know, when we go to test it and we put it out in the market, people are like, you know, they receive that well and it burns better than I thought it, you know, would. Wow. And it's like, it's showing clearly that there's just some strains that always do that. The same strains always smoke well.
Got it.
You know, it's like, it's genetics, man. It's a huge part of it. It's how you get the flavors, the uniqueness.
You know, when you mention the colors, the first thing that comes to mind is old school High Times magazines.
Yeah.
And how it was a rainbow of colors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that, since I'm speaking to the director of cultivation, is that Photoshop? Is that
no, our weed is, I mean, you could see it out there, all of those buds that are on the there's basically those pictures that are hanging on the wall with the spinning buds. That's all, that's not doctored. Like it's
only a light and a camera.
Yeah, we get very vivid violets, you know, purples, pinks, you know, yellows, golds, platinums. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, our weed comes out pretty crazy. We're very lucky with the facility that we have, you know.
That is amazing. And I gotta give you kudos, man, because the flowery has come across to be much deeper than I ever expected before I walked in.
Yeah.
You know, it's layer after layer after layer. And
we're lucky, but we're all a bunch of very passionate people, you know. Yeah.
It shows. It really shows.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a checklist of nodes that you have to hit with your grows?
Like as far as like
flavor, color,
things. Yeah, yeah, like that? Yeah. I mean, we definitely don't take things to market that we don't like. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of companies that can say that. You know, 710 was doing that long before we were doing that here, but you know, I've always had that philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, before I ever, you know, ran into or worked with 710, and you know, that's been a very, I think, a synergistic thing between us and them, is that if we don't think it's going to be good, if we don't think it's going to, you know, improve, you know, if the customer's not going to walk away going, mm-hmm. damn, this was worth my money,
yeah,
then we don't want to do it, you know. And then, you know, if it's good enough but it's not quite, you know, we'll tear it out and be like, okay, this isn't a $50 eighth or a $40 eighth. It's a $30 eighth. It's great weed, but it's not where we would want it. And strains can appear in different at the same time, right? Like you could have a tier three this and a tier one of the same strain, right? Not at the same time, but, you know, a batch that came out better. Because it's not a consistent thing, you know? It can be, but it's a lot of work and a lot of like following through on the details to get the consistency where every time you pull London Pound Cake 75, it smokes, looks, smells exactly the same every time. It's not easy.
Yeah. And you stick to that. You always, that's your goal for all your grows.
Yeah. Try and get consistency, right? I mean, this is a different grow than I've ever had or ever worked on, right? And mm-hmm. it's actually a little bit smaller in plants as far, or should I, we call it a square foot of canopy, right?
Okay.
Place I was at before was closer to 60,000. This is right at about like 40 when it's all done. So, but there's more rooms. There's smaller increments, basically. So there's a lot of diversity. We have,
wow.
Yeah, we pull down 7 strains every week.
Whoa.
And then if you include like 710's workflow into that, it's like 12 to 13 strains every week.
Amazing.
You know, and that's, we try and that diversity is what people like. You know, they will like okay. to come to us and go to that menu out there and yeah. see all of that shit. And they're like, Jesus, you know.
What's going on here?
Yeah. They're like, how do they do this?
So what's your, you know, I know you got to get back out. So what are some of the things that, what are the highlights in being part of a growing industry like this?
Well, I mean, there's an opportunity to be self-made, right? I think there really is. You gotta be insane in order to do it. You know, I really do mean that. Right now you have to be, just because it's, there's a lot of, you know, this industry grew very fast, very quickly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that got into it for the wrong reasons. There's still, like, you know, some pain that has to happen before it starts to kind of really
yeah.
go where it's supposed to go. But I can see it. Like, I think that, you know, the future of this industry is brighter than a lot of other industries right now. Right.
Amen to that.
Right. So it's like, and it's twofolded, and there's a lot of growth that's going to happen, and mm-hmm. different people are going to get involved. You know, the big money's going to start to come in, all of that. But I think that the consumer, I don't know, there's an opportunity here to continue to do what we do mm-hmm. like this around the world, even, you know what I mean? Like, there's definitely those kinds of opportunities, which is not, again, you're not in most industries. That's
yeah,
not the
at
case.
All. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, it's, you know, very, very much on the bleeding edge of, you know, any frontier in that sense.
That is
like,
so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
It is. It really is.
So, I mean,
is,
who knows? I mean, this, you know, things could go belly up in this industry, but I don't think that's going to happen. Like, you would have to be, you know, catastrophic legislation that, you know, destroyed everything.
It would have to be something out of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Up. Yeah, yeah. I
mean,
agree.
So, Brian, do you have any shout outs that you want to give or anything you want to plug? Now's your chance, sir.
No, I mean, I think anybody should come and check out the Flowery. If you're not a patient, you know, look to get a doctor. And there's plenty of them all over the country, you know, mm-hmm. or all over the state, I mean. You know, get your med card and try the program and see what it's about. Like, the more adoption we have, the more traction it gets in this state, you know. You know, I want to shout out to all of our brand partners, you know, Preferred Garden, 710 Labs.
Awesome.
You know, Pack Woods, Runts, Backpack Boys.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. And then there's new ones too. We got Doja Pack dropping here soon, Sherbinski's.
Wow.
We have, you know, Wizard Trees, and then one of my personal favorites, which is the OG Kush story, which is Josh D and his whole thing. It's a pretty cool story, yeah. Where the OG Kush came from.
Man,
has roots in this state, which is pretty sick.
Oh, I need to know. Yeah. that's for another episode.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
When we have more time, I definitely want to sit down and chop that up. That's really interesting.
Awesome, yeah.
But Brian, man, thank you so much for sitting down with us. And I look forward to more of your grows.
Yeah, come by and check it out. You can come by and check the grow out one day.
Oh, my God, yeah. I'll bring our crew to, you know, if you don't mind me filming. Yeah. Just yo, so to keep this episode going, we are here with two patients of the Flowery. My man, you don't have to say your full name, but if whatever name you wanna go by, introduce yourself.
Leo.
Leo and?
Jerry.
Jerry?
Yeah.
All right, fellas, thanks for coming on the show. You guys are patients here.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
All right, so what do you think of the Flowery?
Honestly, compared to anybody else, there's like a lot of competition out here, but when it comes to like quality control, I feel like this place has it on lock. Everywhere okay. else is more, they like to cut corners and stuff. And I feel like ooh. more people are more about money, but this place actually cares in a way. So
hold on, my like this. No, wait, hold on.
Cool. All
right. So when you say people cut corners, give me an example.
It seems like there's a lot of people involved in the cannabis space, right? Mm-hmm. That financially can be involved. But this is something very grassroots there wouldn't be what we call this medical market, recreational market, if it wasn't for the grassroots. Some people refer to it as gray, black market. Let's call it grassroots.
Okay.
So the pioneers who basically knew about this plant's property, healing-wise, California having one of the longest relationships up north in the triangle,
mm-hmm.
and then the pioneers, that's what I like to call them, who would bring cannabis from either that side of the country or by other means somewhere else, South America,
yeah.
OG, Punto Rojo, Colombia and stuff, you know? And the flowery has the feel where someone in here or who runs the company has been and has a relationship with cannabis, because that's what it feels like when you come here. Mm-hmm. Look at the brands they've been able to allocate on the menu.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, there's a few other, I don't know if we can mention it, but you know, everybody else who's here, there's mm-hmm. some California brands.
Yeah. You don't got to say names. You don't got to, but I'm with you.
You know, so they are here, but the flowery's biggest highlight to me is knowing that they're so flow based. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm from
yeah.
originally from South Florida,
mm-hmm.
traveled a lot from here to California, but this would be what I call the home team.
Yep.
That's what's up.
So they have my support.
And you guys seem knowledgeable. Not like recreation knowledgeable, but I mean like you're knowledgeable about the product. So how long have you been using this medicine?
Me, 16. But I would say like medicinally as of like probably the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel, you know, give me an example of medicinally. How does
so
it help
like
you?
With like doing it legally, going to speak to a doctor.
But I mean like license. give me how does it help you?
How does it help me? Honestly, I go to school and I work and I like to juggle a lot of things and I like to bite more than I can chew. So like I have problems sleeping at night. So I also get migraines at night. So one thing I noticed is when I was younger, I used to smoke and it used to help me a lot. So I said, why not approach a doctor about it? And sure enough, he told me the same thing. And honestly, it's been working for me and I basically eliminated like my black market usage. So
nice.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Tell me everything.
Like honestly, like this place is awesome. Like, I'm not. I don't live close by here. Me and him like live by Homestead, and we make that
super
drive.
Super south.
Yeah, we make that drive.
Out down south.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we
yes,
make.
Sir.
We could have gotten a delivery from the grow, but we decided because we like coming to the dispo, man.
Yeah,
it's
showing up to the storefront.
Yo,
just to support, man.
We'll put a Homestead,
Florida City.
Babu.
What is going on, dog? We'll put a Homestead, Florida City. Yeah, we're deep south.
Florida City, no joke, boy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh my God.
So we took that commute here.
Whoa, that's, and for those that don't know, that's like an hour.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's without traffic. An
correct.
Hour.
Correct.
If you're booking it.
45 to 50 minutes, no traffic.
Yeah, no traffic.
With South Florida traffic
and
Miami
hour and
construction,
a half, almost 2 hours.
For sure.
You could have gone halfway to Orlando. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, but shoot, tell me, how about yourself, Leo? What are some of the things that you find medicinally versus black market recreation?
So I feel like the biggest thing is just the legality of it. A lot of people like the safe space, you know, you walk into the flowery, it all feels real. So it's just like any other business you go to, you feel comfortable because it's a business that's mm-hmm. reputable. Everything's okay. Where if you were to have to source meds as a patient before Florida have reform, because you know this is awfully new, we're like 2-3 years now in with reform,
mm-hmm.
you could have gotten yourself in a sketchy situation. Or the biz concern is just people not being aware of how important it is who's watering your plants or who the master cultivator is. That's a big key component onto the quality of your cannabis, who bred the plant. Whereas in the gray market, let's say you're getting it from someone who got it from someone, and shout out to all those people who led us being here, because if they wasn't for them. But as a person, you can't really be sure of what it tested for. Was the room not full of mites? Did it have gray mold? You have to be able to, you know, know this. And it's with this medical market, they do provide the COAs, the certificate of analysis, so you kind of get an idea. But before then, before reform, it was just all based off trust.
Yeah,
man. I mean, this, you know what blows me away is that I had Kevin from Packwoods, and he said, man, Florida base is knowledgeable. This is an educated base.
Yeah.
And brother, you guys have definitely shown that in a small amount of time. Like, you made such valid points, because it's like popping pills. You don't know where those pills came from.
Correct.
Yep.
And then on top of that, when it comes down to this industry, who knows that there's mites?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you got,
You have to know.
Yeah,
you have to know.
Talk.
Right? Like, if you go to Walgreens, Navarro, CVS,
yeah,
you wouldn't be concerned about the prescription that's coming out, the one that the pharmacy tech hands you.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's all legit.
It's all
you
valid.
See the pharmacy yeah. tech in mm-hmm. his coat. Your doctor's the one that prescribed it. Yeah. The system translated to Walgreens, and it's, hey, it's Walgreens. Your meds are ready.
Yep.
There's no doubt. You're not like, does this have fentanyl?
At all.
Where in the gray market, if you're into that, there's a chance you could run into stuff that's not pure. Let's say it could be contaminated.
Yeah. If someone dusted it by accident.
Correct.
Or dusted it on purpose.
Correct.
You
correct.
Know, shoot, cojones. And all of a sudden you're in the K-hole.
Yep. You know how it is. So the flower provides that. You come in here and it also feels like a someone who's a patient. I'm a patient first and then I come to SOAR. It feels nice to come here and just finally have the same freedom that other states had, like California, where as a patient, whether you're someone who has some severe ailments, you're a veteran, brother, nobody should get in trouble for cannabis.
Nobody.
The right. biggest push should be decriminalization.
Yeah.
That's what the conversation we should be having. But we're getting there, you know?
Slowly but surely.
The cannabis is helping me be patient. You know?
But, as a patient, it's helping my patients.
You know, but the biggest fight should always be to get this off the Schedule I narcotics. They need to stop letting people go to jail or prison for cannabis.
Amen to that, bro.
Yes, sir.
Shoot. And to think you didn't want to come and do this interview.
Right. I know. You're making it easier.
Man, but it's dope. I mean, so any words of encouragement, any bits of knowledge you want to bestow upon anyone listening to this?
I would say to people that think the medicinal market isn't what they're looking for, just keep have like an open mind, because from the past 3 years, I was the same way. I didn't want to like go medicinal.
Spectacle.
I was spectacle, exactly.
Sorry.
Like from as of what people told me. But then as I guess I matured a bit, I went and got my card. And I'm trying not to be super biased, but, you know, like I try everything that I can everywhere. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this place just has what I'm looking for, you know.
Damn, coming from someone that drove almost
an hour
out here, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Shoot.
For the homies.
Yeah, for the homies.
Yeah.
That is dope, man. Gentlemen, appreciate you coming out.
Thank you, brother, for having us.
Do you guys want to drop any information, any contact, IG, promote anyone, plug anyone?
Shout out Brandon.
B-Dogs. Brandon Limbridge from
Thank
The Flower.
Thank you for all your help, as
Thank
always.
Thank you for everything.
You, yourself, 305 Radio,
yes,
the
sir.
A Miami podcast. And to any patient out there who hasn't given it a try, definitely give it a try. Whether it's The Flower or not, go get your script, you know. And give this medical market a try if you haven't, you know. But always remember, be grateful for those who are your caretakers before all this reform got here, you know, because
mm-hmm.
that's the biggest thing. Like, there's people in this industry at the moment that are capitalizing on this industry who are not what we'd call pioneers or put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to focus on that, but just, you know, there's a lot of people.
It's true.
We wouldn't get, you think the scene is about 3 years old. You know how long there's been patients here in the state of Florida?
Oof.
But we are now just getting medical. So where were all these people allocating their cannabis before we had the flowery?
In sketchy ass places.
So, yeah. You know, so if you're a patient, you're not a patient, get your script and then come try out the flowery.
That's what's up, man.
Worth the drive.
Worth the drive,
100%. They deliver.
They deliver too.
You don't have to be hardcore.
Man, I love this. This is self-promotion. I love it. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother, for having us.